Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice. Here it is on Labor Day weekend, and this is Sunday, September 3rd. And the show is going to be a little abbreviated this week because the panelists, guys who are usually on here and who talk all the time on the weekends, they're all having a good time. I'm David. I'm here as your host. But I'm going to we're going to play a archive show, a show we had back on August 27th. So let's get into it. Well, good afternoon or good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on August 27th, Sunday afternoon at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We welcome you to the show. A lot has been going on out there in the world, and of course, we will talk about things that are happening and things that maybe you would like to even jump in and talk with us. If that's true, the number is 646-668-8740. Usually we have a great deal of people on who are listening and join in this time and taking other boxes. I want to get started with my whole idea is that, you know, it looks like we as Americans have not understood the election process a lot. And I say that because with all the trouble they're having in Texas right now, and there's some questions that I have with all the flooding, and I have to send sympathy out to Texas here from the man's voice that they're going through a lot. I mean, you know, and a lot of people are being put out of their homes and stuff like that. But my question is, why didn't Houston do an evacuation order? I mean, politicians, that's what they do. And when Katrina and all those other ones, Sandy, happened, they did the evacuation orders. They took care of the people. Everyone knew this was coming, but it seemed like Houston just kind of didn't do anything to prepare or help the people. So my question would be, those should be the same as people who, next election, who are still in office. I don't know if it's just me, but I see that there are others. What do you think, Frank? He seems to be there, but okay. What about you, Rob? What do you think about it?
I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say that, as far as I understand, there were evacuation orders put in place, but you know, it's always the case that, you know, living in an area that is prone to hurricanes, I know this to be true, that a lot of people decide to stay home for different reasons. And what does bother me, though, is that I did see an NBC newscaster interview a lady, and she was asked, why are you staying behind, you know, if this storm could potentially threaten your life? And her response was, I can't afford to leave. And to me, that is unacceptable. I mean, I think there should have been measures in place for people that are low income and, you know, don't have the financial capabilities that other people have to leave. And, you know, most of us are probably thinking, well, you know, what kind of money do you need to evacuate? But you do. I mean, it nothing is free. I mean, you do need gas, and, you know, there are expenses involved. So I think, you know, evacuating people to you know, maybe even as far north as Dallas probably would have been a good choice, or at least have that option available. I don't think that option was available, you know, for low-income people, but I'm just guessing.
Well, I know that in Florida, many times hurricanes come through there, and everybody knows, you know, they try to get you out. I mean, especially down in Key West, they will knock on your door and take you away if necessary. But I didn't see a lot of that going on in Houston, and that concerns me. Frank, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that the problem, I heard the mayor indicate that 6 million people, you just can't get them out of the area. There's no place to go, and the expense of that is just terrific. So I think, and if you look at some of the smaller towns that are around there, like I was just looking at a nursing home all day that's been run, but the women were sitting in those recliner chairs, and the water was up to their breast area or past their breast area, sitting in the chairs, and they finally had to get someone else to come, you know, a relative to come and help evacuate the women that were in this rest home. So that's part of the problem, is what do you do and where do you go to, and who puts up these people, and what areas? Some areas when you flood are going to be dry, and some areas are going to be deep wet. So that's the other problem.
I mean, people, we thought when Katrina passed, the trouble they had there, that the United States had figured it out, and that they could, federal government would come in and help it. And matter of fact, it was said during that period of time, this will never happen again. We will always be, you know, somewhere to help. But it just didn't happen this time. And I'm concerned that we as American citizens, we keep worrying about who we're voting for, but it doesn't look like we're doing a good job of putting the right people in places to get things done. Let's move on. I do want to say that we are here at the Bad Voice, sending all we can, prayers and everything to people who are still fighting this. I know it's still raining down there. It's a mess. So we send, you know, what we can for you to hope you get everything done quickly. I hope there's help for you. I know that everyone has seen this video of this this Denver cheerleader and everyone and the coach trying to get her to do the split. And I bring this up because I want to go a different direction with this, because and if you didn't see it, it is in Denver. There's a young lady there who joined the cheerleading squad, and for the cheerleading squad, they all do splits. This little girl couldn't, the number of girls, high school, I think, girl couldn't do the split, so the coach and everything, they're pushing her down to the ground, trying to get her levered up to do it. And she's screaming and hollering, "This hurts, I can't," you know. So somebody's filming it, of course. And then the mother is on there, you know, like somebody violated my little girl. And, you know, so now, you know, they have a Denver police investigation. Now, I bring this up because I was talking to a lawyer, actually, a female lawyer, she's a single mom, and her son got to play Little League base football just recently. He just joined, first time he's doing anything. And she was upset that the coach was fussing at the young men to hustle around, get around, get on to be push-ups. So she's like, nobody can be screaming at my kid like that. I don't think that. I don't let anybody scream at my kid like that. So my whole thing is, what is it we did to people who are now raising our kids where, I mean, they are so fragile that you can't get them to be better showing them how to do it? I mean, this school, guy is already because he was trying to get the young lady to split. And then later in life, my whole mind is she's going to be bragging about the yaki and split. But so it seems that we have, we're not babying our kids. I don't know what that's going to lead to. Don, you're there. What do you think?
I don't really know, David. I just don't have an answer for that.
Okay. What about Jeremiah? You're there. What do you think? You know, what is it? Why is it that these parents now don't want anything to make their kids do better? You know, you can't scream at them or fuss at them or teach them how to do it. You know, it's just, you know, I've seen parents with their hands on their hips and neck working at the teachers, like, you can't tell my son that, or you can't tell my daughter that. You know, and I'm concerned where that's leading to. What do you think, Jeremiah?
I would like to start with a gentleman from Denver that was trying to so-called assist the young lady and, I guess, popping her leg to do a split. I really unacceptable. You should know where football, cheerleading, ballet, they're just not on the same page. Football, I'm understanding to a coach, you know, being argumentative with a child or being, you know, a certain way with his voice, a little louder, more aggressive, because football is an aggressive sport. With the girl with this, I don't really think she's about, I think she's in that between 12 and 14 years old. And there's no, and in football and basketball, there's nowhere where you make a child do something similar to popping a female's or little girl's leg so that they can, you know, do, I think it's to do splits in the future so that you're more flexible. That's the reason why they do that. That it should be done, obviously, because the child is in pain. It should be there. You know, every child, especially children, female, little girl, they take things different. So I would, and that guy has done things previously at other schools, pretty much making a girl do it so that they'll be more flexible. But you shouldn't make a person do something. If they don't want to do it and you get their parents' consent or their parents not there, then they shouldn't be included. Okay? It shouldn't be a point where you come to this day where you have to do it and I'm going to make you do it. Because there's no way in the United States where you can make children do things of that nature. So I think he should be criminally charged. If he was dismissed from another high school or middle school program for doing the same thing, I think he should be criminally charged. He's taking matters to his own hands when you're not dealing with adults. As far as the young lady with football, the mother concerned about her child with football, I think there's a lot of women that are more soft and don't understand what it takes to actually be a football player or play a more aggressive sport versus, you know, football versus swimming. I understand the football aspect of her yelling at the kids, get on the line, do that, because it's just that kind of sport. So I would say to that mother, if you feel uncomfortable, maybe go to more practices, be around more, and have an understanding why that's going on, why the coach talked to the kids in that nature. Because you can understand, you understand the difference between the coach going overboard. I think if she's around a little bit more, she'll probably understand more.
Okay, so let me understand this. You're saying that the little boy playing a football, you don't mind the coach screaming and hollering at him, but the little girl who watched the cheerleading squad, wanted to be on the cheerleading squad, knew they did split, should not be forced to do the program if that's what the program is, she wants to do the program. So you're thinking little girls should be different?
Yes, because that's just like you have done in karate. Yes. And it says, okay, to be in karate, you have to hit cement 30 times bare fist. Now, if you can't do it, I'm not going to forcibly make you do it. But if you can't do it, then you can't be a part of karate.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Over the week, it came out that in Oakland Park, Florida, there's the first time a female is going to be the high school backup quarterback. So you're telling me that this girl doesn't have to go through all the stuff that the boys go through to be the quarterback for the football team, which is all boys. Because you think the girl should be treated different.
No, only in that situation. Only in that situation with the cheerleader girl. Now, if this young lady decides to play optimist or high school football, whatever it is, she should get smashed just like any other quarterback on her sack.
So when the girl is doing gymnastics, you don't think she should be doing what other girls are doing?
But it's not popping her legs by a coach. That's you have to.
He wasn't popping her. He was just pushing her down so that she could do the split.
Yeah, it's called popping. I've heard it before. Just social media is going crazy about it, but it's called like popping your legs. I guess it's like the muscle. Once you pop the muscle, it's your you're free to do a split without any, I guess, without any hesitation next time. I don't know.
But so I mean, go ahead. Continue.
No, I just think it's two total different things. Because it's just like telling your son, okay, if you want to make the team, you have to lay on the ground and let your teammates walk over you with iron cleats. You know, there's nothing, it's not subject to pain. The girl was subject to pain when he was pushing her down. I want you to get down and try it right now, David. Get down and try to do a split and let a gentleman stand over you and push you down. And you feel like you can't go anymore and somebody's still pushing you down. I can't compare that to being sacked
you can't compare that to a big tackle running into the girl, knocking her breath out, and knocking her on the ground. So you think that's okay, but doing the split.
But she signed up. She signed up to be tackled.
The girl signed up to be a cheerleader.
But she didn't sign up for a coach. That's not a part of the rules and regulations.
It's all routine. Let me just, Ron, where are you at? What do you think, Ron?
I think you guys are confusing the whole issue because on the one hand you have training for something and on the other hand you have playing the sport. So and I think Jeremiah is completely right when he says, you know, that putting the girl through the pain that he did, that the coach did, is unacceptable. There's a reason why you're seeing the reaction that you're seeing is because that's not normal, David. I mean, you can't make somebody suffer through pain like that, and it's no different than, you know, in the football scenario, if they're training for football and, you know, everybody's doing push-ups and somebody's at their limit and they can't do one single more push-up, you can't force somebody to go through pain and do something that they can't physically do. I mean, that's just completely unacceptable.
I, through my career, through my life, have seen cheerleaders complaining about having to split. So it's been going on for years. And football, I've seen guys laying on the ground with coaches standing on the mentioning do push-ups. So I've seen this all the time. I just think we're changing. There's a change right now going on about.
I don't know. It's kind of different to me because when you throw push-ups, that's building your endurance, your muscle. And also discipline. Popping a female's leg for ballet or cheerleading is not, only thing it allows you to do is do a split all the way down to the floor the next time. It just makes you more flexible. So more flexible is not the same as, you know, as let's say football, where you make a person do 100 push-ups and you can see the difference. And if that child's not comfortable doing it, this is a 13, 14-year-old girl. Her parents should be there, I would think. And this is a man. If it was probably a female, everybody probably might have a different opinion. But this is a man that has done this multiple times, and it's unacceptable.
Wow. All right. Don, can you jump in on this? You there?
That's really because I didn't see the story. And I'm not knowledgeable of the story. And okay. I don't like to cop things that I'm not knowledgeable of.
All right. But, Frank, what about you?
Well, I think that the girl should have walked away if she is not interested or cannot do the splits. Her mother should have been familiar with what the requirements are. And if she needs to be part of the Power Puffs, then her mother should have taken her to a Power Puff thing. Now, I think that, I go to the trainer a couple times a week, and I'm amazed at the feedback that people give.
And you're listening to The Man's Voice. Once again, this is a pre-recorded show that we did maybe a week or so ago. And because of the holiday, off this week, and I'm the only one here in the studio. But if you have comments, this calls or anything, we're just studio letting everyone hear what the voice has to say. So once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice. Continue listening.
Well, her in something that she's capable of doing. And obviously, she should not be in the cheerleader mix, unless it's powder puff cheerleaders.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, I can see that.
But you think the coach was okay doing what he did?
As a coach, I would have never forced my hands and made her do the splits. I might have talked to her and told her how to do that if I thought that was a healthy recipe. But I would have just said to her, come able to do the splits. You know, you got to go. I would have not put my hands on her. I would have not made her do the splits. Even if I was a female, I would have not made her do the splits. I would have talked to her about that, told her where she could go to learn how to do that. But I would not have, because when you have athletes that are willing to run through the wall, that's something they want to do, not something that you make them do. If they don't want to run through the wall, then they shouldn't be there. Okay.
I agree.
Bruce, how do you feel this subject?
First of all, I would agree 100% with what Frank just said. He's right on. I've had some personal experience with this sort of thing. With my kids and being an assistant coach in the past, the only thing I would add to the mix is we seem to be, and I think this alludes to what Frank said too, we seem to be drifting away from if the coach is qualified and you agree with it, and you put your child in your program, leave the coach. If you think the coach is deficient in doing things he or she shouldn't, as Ron pointed out, and I think Jeremy did, then do something about that coach. But do not interfere with the coach trying to coach these kids. He's trying to instill something in them and finding out where their limits are that maybe the parents either don't have time to do or don't have the desire to do. We need to push kids, but we also need to have a coach that knows the difference between what they can do or what they can't do and what they won't do. And I think coaches help find that out in a young adult, and sports in that way is an excellent thing.
I had a text in, and it's interesting that the person, her name is Carolyn, said, we're raising boys and girls when we should be raising a child, not a gender. So if you're going to expect that of your male child, you should have the same expectation for your female child in being successful. What do you think about that Jeremiah? Raise a child, not a gym.
I somewhat agree.
Because I think you're more about it.
Not exactly. But I'm not fond of a coach putting his hands on a child to assist her in doing anything. Because you know what? I'm the kind of guy, I don't trust anybody. Now, we're talking about a senior coach. You're forcing her down while she's already in the split position, and you know, I think it's a pop of muscle that's in your hands, in your lower leg area. It's a pop of muscle, so you're more flexible the next time you do it. But a person can do that themselves with their fellow cheerleaders, with their mother at home. I don't think that coach should have been the first one to force that child to do that in that situation. And that's my only take on it, because you are a male and that's a female child. And like thinking about it from a male standpoint, the coach's standpoint, you can have a lot of problems that can arise from this situation. You can have allegations of sexual touching or harassment. You can have a situation where you hit the media and you're looked at as an aggressor to a child.
But don't you think that's wrong? Don't you think that would be the media skewing it for entertainment purposes and not fact?
Well, we don't know how far this coach goes every time. We don't know.
Why should somebody teaching somebody be nervous about, I'm a man, so I can't teach it the way it should be taught, because then I might be in trouble? I think that's a problem we have today, being politically correct all the time.
Exactly true. I just like there's a basketball coach. I think it's Texas Tech. It's somewhere in Texas. Collegiate. It was CAA, D1 school. A school over in Texas. He was doing outrageous things, hitting the players with the ball. So all kinds. So honestly, me, I let coaches coach, but you can't have faith in a person where they're going to be perfect. Everybody, coaches are still human. So I think that. Know what's going on with your child. Just like we're talking about a child. This is an adult that's a little bit different. Adult, you know, 19 years old, he knows what's best for him. He knows what he's a person, even if he's your coach, your parent, your friend, your colleague. But and I think that it's not about gender. It's just went too far. If that was my daughter, I would have been mad about that situation.
They were cute. What if you were the parent, David? You would have been okay?
I do think that sometimes it takes coaching to be tough. In my life, my experience, I've never known anybody who was a superstar that didn't tell you they had bring ups. People who made them every tennis player, you know,
and putting somebody in pain.
I think tennis every day is painful. You don't think that learning to sing while everybody, all the other kids are playing outside is not painful? I mean, if you want to be a superstar, do your thing. It takes this kind of, to me, it takes sometimes, as long as I know about it, as long as I think that it's helping, I'm going to say.
David, you're pretty tough, bro. Guys, I think David prayed for a son every time.
Wow. I've seen, you know, now that everybody's stopping kids, don't touch them, don't do this. Teachers can't fuss at your kid or anything. And I don't know where that's going. All I do is, you know, sometimes a tough, you know, lecturing helps the child to do better. But Jeremiah, what you're saying is if there was a male cheerleader and the coach was pushing him down, it would be okay. But because it was a female, it wasn't okay. I don't think sex should be in that. Either it's good for or men.
Our young ladies are more fragile.
Oh, come on. There are young ladies out there that can grab you by the neck and beat the hell out of you. I don't believe that. I believe it maybe at one time, but not no more. I mean, I see more fights on the internet of girls fighting than guys. You know? But
yeah, we have some tough girls out here, but we have some girls that are not tough at all.
Yeah,
we have some guys that are not, and we spoke about that. We have some guys out here, like police officers, that are not tough at all. So everything scares them.
If you've been a police officer and you're a female, you don't think that you should have had a tough bringing up?
It's helpful, and because I agree with you, for that. But splitting doesn't compare to being tough mentally. Or physically, a split, no. Maybe some push-ups, maybe running 5 miles or something, but not splitting.
You're supposed to split. Yes.
I think if it would have been a young boy, you would have had the same reaction. It's just not right.
I would have the same reaction. I think it was right. I think if the girl wanted to be cheerleader and the cheerleaders need to do this routine, she needed to learn it. If she didn't want to learn it, she should have went home and told her mama, I don't want to be a cheerleader no more, and left.
Or David said, I quit.
Yes. Okay. Bruce called my name. Bruce.
Yes. Let me give you a simple scenario where your argument breaks down a little bit. Okay. You've got a son or a daughter that wants to go into the National Guard, wants to go into the Coast Guard, and they have a different training, but one of them is they have to stay underwater a certain amount, hold their breath.
Yes.
So, if you honestly felt a coach in that unit was holding your son or daughter down in one form or another, maybe not physically, but in some way, that they were literally going to drown, you'd let them drown? Of course you wouldn't. At some point, you reach a point where you say, as a parent, because they're not on their own yet, you've crossed the line. And I think that's what some of the guys are saying.
there's got to be a difference between a good coach that pushes and a bad coach that abuses.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And when
you're going to stand up as a parent, you're going to stand up as a parent and say, that's it. He's done. Now, you might embarrass the hell out of him, whatever, but at some point, you're not going to let him go. If you physically think they're in danger of drowning, you're not going to let it happen. You can't tell me you would.
And you're listening to the man's voice here at Sunday afternoon at 6:30 p.m. on September the 3rd. We are listening pretty well to the show that we had, and everyone had an opinion. Of course, there were a lot of different sides to this opinion, but we're going to change that in a minute here, and we're going to go further into that particular episode.
Requirements for PP is a different requirement than they are for females, and you decide, hey,
I just met a naked Asian man. Just who is this naked Asian man? This conservator. We sent our crew down to look.
And I agree with you, there are some cons, there are some federal cons that are not there. But we have a system in this country, and liberals used to care about it, called the democratic system and a process. So judges can't just go in and usurp federal law just simply because they don't like it. Now, what the sheriff did in Phoenix was he didn't do anything different. He basically was doing his job, which is what he was required to do and what he was going out to do. And I also want to point out that Phoenix crime is dropped over like 30%. Since that sheriff took over, he enforced those laws. But he's not going out rounding up people. That's a big misconception by the press. The law just simply says if you were to stop someone or detain someone, you are supposed to find out what their legal status is. Now, your job is not to do the job of the federal law enforcement, but it is to report. And that's all they're asking. They're not asking them to do their job, but just report.
He's very unpopular in what he did. He's no longer in office. and he has been out of office recently, but I think he has 15 or more years as a chair. And that's what he specialized in, putting green bologna sandwiches, putting people in pink underwear, and putting in his check.
All right. Anybody else want to jump in that? Don, what do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Right. And another thing, too, he should have waited till after this guy was convicted and sentenced to really partner. I mean, he just really got above the board on this. He should not have done it. And the thing is, it was the timing that he chose to do it. First of all, he advertised it in Arizona, and then he pulled the trigger on a Friday at 5 o'clock. That was peaceful and so deceptive. I mean, and then the thing is, to talk about Hispanic being murderers and low down, and then do something like that, he just co-signed, and the whistle has blown again, and you can't unblow the whistle.
All right. So, caller, any other comments you want to make on this subject?
It just amazes me how, most people on the left now say that, if a judge says something, then you have to abide by it. Somehow you're breaking the law. But yet they totally ignore the fact that these judges are breaking the law. These are local judges and local courts are breaking the law when they decide that they're going to usurp federal law. And then they say, you got to obey the law. So the judges are the ones that are breaking the law. They're legislating from the ditch. And I don't see how you expect to have a strong nation if you can pick and choose which laws you want to enforce. It makes no sense to me. I don't get it.
Bruce, you want to handle that? You want to talk about that?
Well, I wanted to add that, Don, I don't know if Don's aware of this. I kind of wondered about this Friday night dump too, Don, and I did some homework, but I checked a couple sources, and it turns out that we've had many presidents use that little trick of deception, that's what you want to call it, or whatever, so that things get dumped out onto the airwaves when people are paying least attention. Obama did that a lot. Bush did it. Many, many presidents have done that. So whether you think it's right or wrong, he's not the only one that's done it. Also, in regards to...
You know, something's running. I agree. And
yeah.
It doesn't make it right, but...
Unfortunately, we got too many of them doing that. Also, from the standpoint of pardons, whether you agree with the caller, whether you agree with Arpaio getting out or not, I'm also equally concerned. President Obama, in his last days in office, pardoned some 1,200 people, several of which, one in particular, that was a known terrorist, that... I guess since I can't give you all the details, and forgive me, I can't pronounce his name, that he pardoned him anyway. And I guess I'd be more worried about someone pardoning someone with that kind of history than Joe Arpaio, whether you agree with it or not. That's just some fuel I wanted to add to the fire.
Joe is like the racist that we saw up in Charlottesville, Virginia. He belongs to one of those groups, those KKK or the one of those three groups there, the Nazi group. He's a member of one of those groups.
Well, if he is, I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but if he is, then that's another set of criteria you need to judge him by. But also, we seem to be thinking that Trump has invented all these nasty things now that everybody's calling out. So this kind of stuff and this kind of crap, if you want to call it that, has been going on a long time. And the best we can do out here in the public is hold our legislators and our presidents accountable, which we're trying to do, and help control it better, because we're never going to eliminate it. But, he didn't invent a lot of this stuff. It's been going on a long time.
Where are you on this, Ron?
Well, Brian took my words right out of my mouth. I think, you know, I look at this guy, and I think he's part of the KKK. And the other thing that I want to say is Trump's true colors, I think, are really starting to show right now. I mean, look at what he did with the LGBTQ community and said, you know, I stand in solidarity with you. And now he's going back on his word. I mean, he's a bigot and a racist. I mean, I'm sorry if I offend those of you that voted for him, but in my mind, he's number 45. He's not my president.
Where are you on that, on the Trump ban on transgender service members? Do you think that Trump was correct in doing that?
God is spread by
appealing to the conscience of good men and not the Supreme Court or bargains with Republicans. What do you think about that, Don?
Well, David, I caught one thing that stood out to me. That person said they are no longer a Christian, but they believe in God. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Well, I think the word Christian needs to be defined. Christian simply means Christ-like. And if you study the way Christ lived, taught, worked, believed in, they were some good kingdom principles. So if you believe in God, you've got to believe in Christ because he only said what his Father said. I am a Christian. I am not a Democrat or a Republican. I believe in the kingdom way of doing things. There are some good Democrats and there are some bad Democrats. There are some good Republicans and there are some bad Republicans. We've got to change our way of thinking. So as a man thinketh, so is he. America has a heart, David. We don't have a political problem. We have a heart problem. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the mouth speaketh what's in the head and what they think. So we have to change our thinking because it's affecting our heart. And our heart is wicked now. A lot of hatred is going on in America. We've got to make some serious changes. And I'm going to leave it right there.
All right. What about Frank? Are you there? I see his numbers in there. Maybe not. What about you, Ron?
I'm here. Well, Frank, I think. Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, go ahead, Ron.
I think Republican and Democrat is just a label. It doesn't really mean a whole lot because there are some liberal Republicans and pretty conservative Democrats, and people fall in the spectrum, and there's a spectrum, and then people fall somewhere within it. It's just exactly like Tom said. You have some good and bad people side. So the important thing is what Don mentioned is that we, as a nation, as a community, whether we're Democrats or Republicans, that really has not much to do with whether you're racist or prejudiced or not. There's Democrats that are prejudiced, there's Republicans that are prejudiced, I think Don's comment that our problem lies within us, it's in our hearts and it's what we're taught, because we've talked about this many times in the show before, that you're not born a racist. Little kids, when they're 1, 2, 3 years old, they play with other little kids and they don't care what color or whether they have cleansed eyes or anything. They are just, playing with another kid. So these are things that are taught to us, and they're taught to us by our peers, sometimes our parents, our friends, So we, to change that, it seems monumental. We've talked about, and it's too bad that Bruce isn't here Frank too, both of you have talked about, getting people in the community together. And Don, of course, I know you've done that down here in South Florida. That's great to talk about it, but I don't know. I think we're broken to the point almost beyond repair. And I hate to sound pessimistic, but I mean, look at what's happening on TV. Look at what's happening in our country. Somebody, a 20-year-old, running over a bunch of people and killing one person. I mean, what kind of nut does something like that?
All right. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what kind of nuts does something like that, and when did all these nuts come about? You know, there was, a stage event in Charlottesville, and it was, a group of people who were talking, down of others, and they had permission to do it. Everyone was on alert in Charlottesville, waiting for something to happen. Everyone was not feeling good about this event. But when did we get to having these kind of events, and where did we get in the United States where we're now running over people with cars, going in and just killing them? And the president of the United States, presidents have always, throughout the years, when catastrophes happen, come up and make a statement about it that says, American people, we shouldn't like anything like this. This is, we shouldn't be doing these kinds of things. But our president hasn't really come out and said anything about it. The mayor of Charlottesville is saying, look what kind of campaign the man ran. How can we expect him to not? But let's talk about that. Frank, let's talk about what happened in Charlottesville and how do we get to this point where we're now in cars running over each other as Americans?
Well, I'm in Virginia. Go to Charlottesville often, and Charlottesville is a university town. People who live up there like living in the mountains or the hills, as I would call it. It's a quite leisurely place to visit with a lot of historical things going on. So what we have is we have a town council that decided to do different than New Orleans. New Orleans decided to tear out these Confederate monuments and put them in a warehouse until they could find better purposes and better places instead of public accommodations for them. Up here, they decided a mid-road course that they were going to change the name of two parks and leave the statutes in place. And so these guys, this is the second or third rally. There's two of them that happened this weekend and one half previous to this. So there was not a surprise. I expected prior to the news break that there was going to be conflict because there was going to be a peaceful demonstration with reverends involved in that for a different side of the town. And the reason why they were doing that, the counterbalance, the not because everybody would be stamped with this racial hatred if they were Caucasian or whatever, and also to allow the churches, we talked about religion, to stand up and be counted as Jesus would be counted. So these guys that came, the three different racial groups, KKK, conservative whites, super conservative whites, all came in there. What they were protesting is their right to what they consider their history. And their history is putting up a Robert E. Lee statue, so to speak, in Charlottesville. I don't think this is a new thing. I don't think the country has deteriorated at all. I think this is where the country has been. I grew up in the 60s. So I was, I was a child or a young person when churches were bombed in Birmingham. I was a young adult when Martin Luther King was killed, when Malcolm X was killed, when John F. Kennedy was killed. Our country was founded on misbehavior of people incarcerating other people and using them for labor. And, and I don't think it's weird. Just, if you look in the Bible, you will see that as well. And nations have taken other nations and enslaved them. So the world kind of has a history of that. Our problem is we refine that in addition to just incarcerating people and working them. We've kind of learned the discipline of hatred based on someone's complexion or their religious affiliation. So if you're a Jewish person, this group of people were hating on you, and And if you were different, a liberal person, they were hating on you as well. So I think the way out of this, the last thing I'll say on this is that the President of the United States, we should not expect him to bring us together as a nation, because he is basically incapable of doing that. And we as a nation elected a president, and we didn't want to come together. That was our, you know, we wanted to do the opposite thing what we did with the previous administration. So I think this is what we got.
All right. I have a caller on the line, ma'am. You wanted to jump in and say a few things? Go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Well, you know, to start off with, I totally disagree with what Frank just said. I don't believe that people voted for Trump because they wanted a divided nation or because they're a racist. And I don't believe that the group that was congregating at Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday, was congregating there because of a new racist movement. It's called the First Amendment. And that is what makes our country different from all other Latin American countries, or at least from most, for the most part. So that is why they had the right to be there. They had a permit, you know, they wanted to speak. I don't agree with anything that's racist, but they did have a right to peacefully assemble. And what I saw unfolding was Antifa arriving. I saw law enforcement allowing them to be there. They didn't have a permit to be there. And I saw them holding baseball bats. And yet, I keep hearing the media. So when I hear, you know, like when the question was about, you know, why this is all happening, what people have in their hearts, it's not what people have. It's what's being placed in their minds by the media. They inflamed what was occurring, and they lied. What was occurring was not a bunch of gang members inciting violence amongst themselves, but random people on the street.
Oh, yes, it was. The governor of Virginia, the governor came out and said it was exactly hatred and racial bias. The governor of Virginia.
Enjoy it. Take a break. See you next week.